Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome on in, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. Doing the show from the Man Cave today, which will be a lot of fun. We have Paul Coro coming up with us on today's show. I was going to catch up with Paul with our favorite son, one of our all-time favorite sons on this April Fool's Day, Markieff Morris back in the Valley. But I think it's, I was telling Eric this yesterday, it's time that we had a heart-to-heart with Paul, and we always like having Paul on because he's very insightful and very knowledgeable. But when we have Paul on, it's let's get after this a little bit. And I want to know about the new head coach and who is it going to be. If the draft were held today, where would the Suns' positions be? Because fans are guessing all over the place on that. And with the Final Four being this weekend, do the Suns have any shot at some of the players that are going to be out there? I've admitted my man crush on Brandon Ingram. The Croatian 18-year-old Dragan Bender, if you take an 18-year-old Croatian 7-footer, in the world of public opinion, not that that's how you should build your franchise, I'm just saying, in the world of public opinion, you're going to have quite a few people saying they did what? I'm just saying. And you can show all the highlights you want, and it's an 18-year-old, it's another kid. But if they decide to go that route with the third pick in the draft, I think you'd find a lot of, okay, what do we really have here? And do we really trust the organization? So very fair conversations to have. I mean, I think Markieff gets booed every time he touches the ball tonight. Every single time. That's the only recourse fans have. You know, when you bring signs to games, somehow they disappear, or especially if they're negative. But you can stand and boo all you want. Booing is a sign of respect. Apathy, I think, is the true. If you really want to pierce somebody, you don't even acknowledge them. They're not worth the time. Like, I don't know. When I played, I loved being booed. It was great. Heckler is fine. Knock yourselves out. People that get all into showing their displeasure by booing somebody, it's actually the highest compliment you could pay them in some regard. In other regards, some guys are thin-skinned that it will get to them. And I think Markieff's probably one of those guys. Like, if you'd boo Kobe Bryant, so what? That's what makes him and made him so great. You boo the heck out of him. Markieff Morris is no villain. He's just some dude that was part of the reason why this franchise has been run into the ground. So we'll talk with Paul Coro on all things around the Suns. And I want to talk to Paul, too, a little bit about the things like the Coach of the Year and things along those lines. And who's it going to be? Luke Walton and where he's going to end up. If Terry Stotts' story, I think he'll be the Coach of the Year. So a lot with Paul. Good at the Movies. It's Friday. You guys, you know what's going on in the world of sports for the most part. And if you don't, I'll fill you in on it. And we'll have some fun. For the most part, you'll know what's going on. And so you have to go out and have a life. So we have Bill Goody-Kuntz with us every week. Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. We'll visit with Bill Goody-Kuntz. That is coming up on today's show as well. In terms of things on my mind outside of Markieff, so Demarius Randle went on Twitter. Now, it is April Fool's Day. And Eric, you can weigh on this. I don't know if I can see you or not, but you can weigh on this too. So Demarius Randle puts on Twitter, ASU might be the worst school on planet Earth. And I don't know if somebody hacked his phone as a prank. I don't know if, unless Demarius Randle in the last few minutes has come out and somewhere said, nope, I own up to it. That's how I feel. This is what it is. This is why I feel this way. If somebody has done that here in the last few minutes, then if he's come out and admitted that this was him. But I have to look at things like that and say, somebody hack his phone. Is this a prank that's being played? Why would a player go to that extreme? And so ASU Nation is all worked up this morning. Of course, U of A Nation, because they have nothing better to do with their football program, trying to become one that finally makes it to, you know, a big, big time bowl game. this is one of those deals where everybody's got a thought on it today. Why would Demarius Randle do this, E? Have you seen this today?
And
do
you have I saw it last night, and initially I thought, oh, yeah, someone's getting a little head start on April Fool's. But scrolling back this morning and even last night before bed, ASU might be the worst school on the planet. This has nothing to do with April Fool's Day. Someone tweeted him, at Randle time, we going to hear Demarius Randle, Mesa Community College, during the next Sunday Night Football intro? And he said, sure is.
Wow.
And then he tweeted late last night, y'all don't even know the half of it. So something happened because I believe he was just at spring workouts or was at pro day or something. He was just on campus recently. So who knows?
So, and this will be explained away how? By people at Arizona State. How are they going to explain this one away? This is a very high draft pick player, a first round pick player, and who had a good season at Green Bay, played quite a bit. He was out on the Brock Osweiler. It was the Jalen Strong thing, right?
Yep.
He was the driver, not a Brock's little pizza deal. He was the driver with Jalen Strong, and there was one other player, if I remember correctly. So if we're connecting dots here, E, and we try to do that on this show, we like to take the time to connect dots on this show. So we don't know the half of it. Was this a fallout from what happened with Strong? Was this something, anything to do with charity events? I mean, I could give all sorts of stories that you just shake your head at through the years of people wanting signed footballs and people saying within the athletic department, well, you have to go buy the footballs. And these are like, I don't know, a guy in the Hall of Fame. Ridiculous stuff.
This falls right in line, Brad, with the TMZ events during the week. The Lakers saga, Bieber wearing a Max Domi jersey, the Diamondbacks getting a bunch of run over their new stadium hot dogs, and now Demarius Randle and his alleged hatred towards ASU. So nothing surprises me. It's just been one of those weeks.
We've had Demarius on the show, haven't we?
I don't believe we have, no.
I thought we had him on last year before the draft. Maybe we did. I think we might have done something in person with him, not on the phone. Well, look, we could sit here for the next 45 minutes and try and figure it out. That would be, I don't know, after a while, kind of repetitive. I'm sure the ASU Nation, as they like to be, Sun Devil Nation, has this figured out. But that's really interesting. The Final Four is set, and our friend Paula is down there, and she'll be on Monday's show. I'm not sure what to make out of these four teams, because a part of me is saying that North Carolina is head and shoulders above the other three teams. Like, I watch Villanova play. They have a really nice inside-out game. I watch Oklahoma play. How can you not like Buddy Hield? Syracuse, I've not been a fan of Boeheim's forever, but that's just me. Not everybody's going to follow a certain coach or a certain style. There's people out there that are not fans of Roy Williams, or they're not fans of this. And the ones that are diehards are the ones that went to the school. So of course they're going to come to his defense. But he's gone to the Final Four, and you have to give him credit for that. I'm just not a fan of theirs. Dick Vitale weighed in on North Carolina.
I had a preseason number one, like a lot of people did, and then I got away from that because Paige really struggled. But now they're playing the basketball that we all thought they would play. North Carolina's A game is so strong. If they play their A game, they're walking out of here with a big championship trophy.
See, and I agree with that. I don't see any way that North Carolina, if they don't just show up and play the way that we've seen them play, they're head and shoulders above these other three teams. Head and shoulders. Now, is Roy Williams going to have a coaching battle with Jim Boeheim? Well, I'm not a fan of Boeheim. Part of it's just whiny, and there's always just sort of something there. And guys that come out of his program, I wasn't big on Billy Owens. I wasn't big on Carmelo Anthony. You can look at their numbers. There's just something about some of the guys that come out of the program, I'm not big on him. Like Rafael Addison as a shooter, and Sherman Douglas did some nice things way back in the day. But, you know, that's just me. We'll switch gears. Paul Coro joins us on the other side about the Suns, and Markieff Morris coming back. That's next. And then Goody at the Movies, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic on a Friday. I'm Brad Sussman. Paul Coro's now with us, AZ Central Suns Insider with the Arizona Republic, one of our favorite people, just a good guy who's had to cover a bad situation for many, many years. Is this situation getting better?
Yeah, I mean, it was a dark couple of months there.
Mm-hmm.
You can invent some of the stuff that was going on. So I think in that respect, there's been some stabilization, and they're just like a regular team playing young guys and losing and playing out the string. That's not ideal, but it's a normal facet of the NBA and not one that they still want to be in or envision coming into, but at least it doesn't have the turmoil and the sideshows around it.
Can I ask you to put on a columnist's hat for a minute and fix this? What would you do? or am I crossing your line as a daily beat writer?
No, I mean,
Paul.
they're on the track to get there. You know, you got to make the right pick with wherever they're going to be at 3 or 4. They've got to be they've positioned themselves to make a key trade, which they're going to have to do at some point to bring in talent. They can't survive on building through the draft alone, although that is a key. But, you know, their accumulation of picks and young players will at least put them in position to where if a talented player is disgruntled somewhere, they can make a move for that, which I always feel like is the more feasible play than outbidding or out-recruiting other teams in free agency. It's going to take getting that star veteran player around their young talent.
So they could have two of the top 15 picks this year. Let's go through some of the questions I'm getting. They could have two picks this year, correct or no?
Yeah, they could. The way the Wizards are going, they could probably have two of the top 12. Okay. You know, the Wizards have not achieved what they wanted by trading for Markieff Morris, and they're going to probably miss the playoffs.
So in that case, you could look at this deal of Markieff and say, this has been a good deal for the Suns. If, in fact, it turns out that way, that they have two picks, you'd say that's a good deal.
Yeah, considering where they were with his value,
right.
You know, they had to rebuild it during the season because they misgauged on him getting on board. And by the time it was, they had come to the position where they were willing to trade him, he had destroyed his value. Mm-hmm. And they rebuilt it, and he almost destroyed it once again when he had the Archie Goodwin incident on the bench. But fortunately, there were teams that in a more pressing situation like the Wizards, and they got a better deal than they actually could have done before the season.
Okay, so if they end up with two of the top 12, and you're saying that they need to make a deal, given where they are with their roster, and to go acquire that player, are you suggesting then that the thought of Phoenix being a destination spot, while I think you and I would both agree that's a thing of the past, they can't recapture that? There's not a player that you look at this summer. Like, Durant's not coming here. But there's not a player that says, boy, Phoenix is a very attractive destination. They're just not there, and they're not going to be there for a while. Is that your opinion? For a star player.
It's always tough. I mean, there's other factors. I mean, guys will ignore a lot of things if they get more money in one place than another.
Yeah.
But in the situation that the league is, with everybody's cap space moving up in the next couple of years, they don't have a money advantage over other teams to just outbid somebody. So now you're leaning on the factors that you're talking about culture and about where they're positioned in the West and stuff like that. And that's not attractive to other players right now.
Yep. Yep. I mean, the contract, like Tyson Chandler's contract, is a weight on them now, correct? We would agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, if there was ever a time you were going to overpay for somebody, it would be this era of the NBA where they've got an automatic cushion coming in the next couple of years with the cap moving up. So it'll lighten the blow a little bit, but it certainly could have been money used elsewhere.
Where's Lon Babbie these days? I haven't seen Lon's name attached to anything. Is he still on the payroll? And what's going on there with Lon Babbie in Robert's front office?
Yeah, you know, last summer, Ryan McDevitt took over complete control of the basketball operations once free agency and had moved on. And Lon took on a part-time advisory role. He's been around games. He's not intricately involved like he was before. He's certainly not heading the process, but he's around if needed. And I think it's been a minimal role. He's been around and he's gradually fading out of the picture.
By next year, he'll be gone, do you think?
If I remember correctly, I think he could still be in the same role next season, but that would be more if he chooses to. And if they've kind of moved on and he's moving toward a more of a retirement lifestyle, you know, he's got grandkids and stuff, and this isn't a permanent home base for him, then, you know, maybe at that point it's easier to make a parting. You know, Ryan McDonough is obviously capable of running the operation himself.
Because I do get people that ask me, when is he going to no longer be with the organization in any capacity? And there's just a lack of trust. And I know the role has been minimized, but occasionally he'll show up. He just hasn't shown up the last 6-8 weeks. I'm not down there every day like you. I do go sit in seats and watch the game. But it just seems to me that the quicker that divorce happens, the better it will be for some fans and even season ticket holders and even longtime season ticket holders. So there's just that much resentment, I think, to what's gone on there. So it's good to hear on that front. When you look at the Final Four, actually, let me go through this. When you look at March Madness, Brandon Ingram, Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown, this kid Bender from Croatia, Buddy Hield, the third or fourth pick, it's going to be one of those four or five guys, right, that's coming here?
Yeah, unless things change drastically in the draft workout and combine process, I don't think you'll see Simmons or Ingram sliding there. I think they're a definitive top two right now. And, you know, but there's always can be a riser. You know, if Dragan Bender has a magic workout, you know, somewhere in Europe, maybe at that Reebok Euro camp, has some private workouts or something, maybe all of a sudden he, as that typical European mystery man, moves into one of those top spots. But yeah, I think you've got the right mix of guys there. You don't want to overreact to anything in the tournament, but Jaylen Brown certainly didn't solidify his case as a three or four guy by the way he played in the postseason. Guards are interesting in the Suns' case because they're so overloaded in the backcourt right now, but as long as they have that best player available mentality, you know, they'd have to consider those guys. But then that's where packaging picks comes into play too. You know, if they can maybe package 3 and 12 for a veteran, or if they can move back in the draft for somebody that they like that's a better fit. It all depends on their board at the time. But I think there's enough guys there that are intriguing as a big man to help them out. And that's, you know, that four spot is something that they're going to have to address one way or the other.
Who's going to be the head coach next year?
Well, that's an interesting one. I think Earl Watson's handled the situation about as well as you can, just as far as getting guys to buy into what he's doing with nothing to play for and put out some good efforts. Certainly not consistently, but that's, you know, what a bad team is. They're inconsistent, and there's not going to be a magic stroke of high effort and execution every night when you're a 20-win team. But so he's made his case, and he's done everything with a mindset of a long-term situation that they need to build certain foundations for the future, and it's not about winning now. But at the same time, you know, they're going to go through a process, and they're going to look at a lot of probably experienced guys, and depending on what kind of vision they have for next year, they could be looking at somebody who has that experience to make the difference of 5 or 6 wins that, you know, maybe bumps you into the playoffs from out of it.
Yeah, I can't imagine they'd bring Earl Watson back. They would get, I mean, they're not relevant now, Paul. They're just not. And if they think that bringing back the interim coach on a bad team, I mean, they're not going to get Luke Walton. I can't see Luke Walton coming here. If you go through the jobs, correct me on this one, Minnesota is going to be the best job in all likelihood this offseason that comes available. It's not the Lakers, if that comes open. It could be the Rockets, But Minnesota by far has a far superior roster than what we've got out here in Arizona. Right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, the talent is great, but you keep at some point with that team, it's like, oh, it's like Sam Mitchell going off after the game the other night about how everybody keeps talking about how young and promising they are, but at some point you got to look like that a little bit. And no matter how many young, good pieces they add year after year, they're in the same spot. And they haven't even risen out into a fringe contender. But you look at their roster, yeah, Wiggins, Town, you know, they got talented guys. And I don't know that it's just a coach that's the difference between that and the next level. They're missing other things.
You're the only one that sat and talked with Robert that I've seen this in the last 4 or 5 months. I mean, he sent out that release, which was nothing. But you sat and you've done the one-on-one with him that was on AZ Central. Does he get it about where and how bad the situation is here in town? Just how bad it is in terms of interest in a once-proud brand, in the franchise, the direction. Does he get it?
I think he does. I think that's part of why he did it. You know, I think he thinks of doing things like that and going out front and trying to show that, you know, he at least acknowledged some things in there and spoke generally about a plan, nothing really specific, but
right.
I think it's part of trying to repair the public image and not directly, but maybe indirectly apologize for where they are.
He misses Rick Welts.
I thought there were some moments in there where he was actually genuine about people knowing that people don't believe what he's saying right now.
Yeah. He misses Rick Welts in the worst way. Rick was able to handle all the bad stuff and deflect, and he doesn't have that person alongside of him. So he's exposed. That's the problem.
There's a ton of executive turnover in that franchise, not just Rick Welts, but that's, yeah, to have the guy who was the most trusted man in the league, probably by the commissioner at the time, Stern, that was an invaluable. And Rick Welts, as you know, had an incredible way with relating to people at all levels. And
correct.
Certainly has boded well for the Warriors. Not that they needed a lot of help for what they had on the court, but you know, he's making a new arena happen there in a very difficult city situation in San Francisco.
Right, right. And then look, that's why they've been able to go there along with great players. But my point is, it's not just what you see on the floor. It's what's gone on in the front office, and it's the people that are around him. I was downtown with some longtime people that have been longtime Sun season ticket holders, and they gave up on him for lunch yesterday. And these are people that you would recognize and want to see at your games. And they're like, I can't remember, Brad, the last time I watched a Suns game, read about a Suns game, no offense, Paul, or anything along those lines. And that's pervasive around town when I go out and speak. And I just wonder if he really gets the damage that's been done, and that you can't, if you bring back Earl Watson, what you're saying is we're in a build it mode with a bunch of young players and we need some time. Well, it's 6 years. So, you know, when you come on with me, my blood pressure goes up and I like you. It's not you. I look at it and you're the one that's there seeing it. It just doesn't sound like that there's anything really that promising other than idle chatter. They got to prove it.
So. Well, I think no matter, you know, I think there's some things going in the right direction with some pieces. You know, obviously they've identified Devin Booker as a
sure.
as a critical piece, but they have to figure out that whole backcourt situation out because of it. Because now they've got three guards for two spots, and going to back to the three guard look is already proven to be a problem. And
yes.
But if Bledsoe's one of your best players coming back next season, now you're trying to convince either Devin Booker to take a step back as the face of the franchise and your most popular player, or Brandon Knight to move in a six-man role that he doesn't want it. And so there's just lots of the and the biggest problem in all this is nobody's slipping in the West, really. I mean, Dallas and Houston sort of did this year, but they're not going to stay there. And Sacramento is going to be on the rise, and Minnesota is going to be on the rise, and Utah's on the rise. You know, they all got young, good players too. It's not just the Suns with some good young pieces. So there has to be other difference makers besides just what they have in place now.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, Bledsoe's coming off his, what, third knee injury. So I don't know. But I appreciate you coming on. I hope you don't run away the next time we want you on the show and say, all Brad does is whine and bitch and moan and complain. That's not me, by and large, but in this case it is.
No, but that's how Suns fans should be. I don't think that's one of the things that people don't get about passionate fans is that if you love your team, you get mad at them. And that's where people are with them right now.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
You got it. There's Paul Coro. Man, I need to go take like a heart pill after that. And Paul's just the one that's relaying the information. If Earl Watson comes back here, you're going to have to resuscitate me. You're going to have to do like the push down on the chest if that's what happens.
It wouldn't totally surprise me if they brought him back. I'm just calling it like it is. It wouldn't totally surprise me.
Just because of this is what we've become used to now.
Yeah, I mean, they might buy into the fact that, wow, look, the team is, you know, kind of buying into this, and they've had some good moments, and they, for the most part, seem connected. Not always. Like Paul said, you're going to have great inconsistencies when you're not a good team. But, I mean, who knows? Who is going to be out there? And who is going to want to come here and coach? Pretty sad we're saying that about the Suns, considering the way the franchise has been.
Yeah. Well, John Calipari has a press conference today at the Final Four. I'm pretty certain it's not about him leaving Kentucky, but
yeah, I'd pass on that anyway. So we've seen that before. We've seen Calipari in the NBA. So
we're not doing that. Luke Walton's not coming here. If he did, it'd be great. But all right. On the other side, there's a few other things I want to get caught up on, including the Diamondbacks. Is they're back home tonight? And then Goody at the Movies. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So now Demarius Randle in the last hour. Jamil Douglas reached out to him. Link up tomorrow, 10-4. If you're just joining us and you have not been following Demarius Randle's adventure on Twitter, for some reason, Demarius Randle decided to go off and started it yesterday afternoon. ASU might be the worst school on planet Earth. 313 retweets. This was 16 hours ago, and you're thinking that, well, this has to be an April Fool's Day joke. 13 hours later, Demarius Randle, this has nothing to do with April Fool's Day. Somebody sends him a note. We're going to hear Demarius Randle, Mesa Community College, during the next Sunday Night Football intro. Demarius Randle tweets, sure is. Demarius Randle, ASU don't respect their alumni at all. It's sad. Was it 596 likes, 96 retweets? Demarius Randle, y'all don't even know the half of it, retweets. Now Jamil Douglas reaching out to him. So, look, what we've seen in social media here, and I kind of glazed over this yesterday. Guys, if you're a coach, if you're coaching kids or just a parent, doesn't matter if single parent, dual parent, or you're somebody involved in your kid's life, sit them down and hold up this in front of them and say, this is a Lamborghini. You don't know how to drive the Lamborghini. So once you get in there, you need to use the owner's manual. And part of it is once you send something out, you can never, ever take it back. You can delete the tweet if it's not what you believe, and people can still find it. This is a first-round pick by the Green Bay Packers in the NFL. And he's just crushing Arizona State, crushing them. ASU might be the worst school on planet Earth. I'm thinking that when I go MC the White Mountain Sun Devil Club event this year in Pine Top, and if I said, hey, I'm bringing Demarius Randle along, wouldn't go over so well. There's a couple other players that are right along that line. Former players, I should say. I don't know. Eric, you're a TCU guy. If Boykin came out and said TCU might be the worst school on planet Earth, you would go crazy. I would think, as big a TCU fan as you are. So I'm trying to understand the ASU fans' reaction on all this stuff.
It's perplexing because, yeah, a nerve has been touched, but I don't know. It's one thing. That's the beauty and the badness of social media. You can put something out there and you can create a firestorm, but nobody knows the backstory. So, like you and I, we're all just here speculating, like, what does all this mean?
Yeah. And if you're Arizona State, if you're Todd Graham, let's just say you're Todd Graham, and he's out of practice today, they're having their Friday practice. Somebody is going to ask Todd Graham today, did you see what Demaryius Randall put on Twitter? Somebody is going to, or put on social media. And Todd will probably, because the people around Todd will tell him, you don't want to respond to this, say, no, I don't pay attention to that stuff. I have other people that do it. It's probably what the response will be. I would be more than surprised if he said what he was really thinking about this. And if I were to ask some people at Arizona State that I know very, very well about Demaryius Randall, the unfortunate side is I'm not going to get, yes, I completely agree with him, no matter what, no matter how much truth there might be there, or, well, you got to consider the source, Brad. And that's probably what will happen. So then I need to find out for myself from him. And there's ways to do that. Please explain. You don't want to come on the air. It's fine. But I think you should probably give this some context now that you've thrown it out there. It's pretty damaging when you have a first-round pick in the secondary, when you're out there recruiting and you point to guys and say, you want to come here and be a Sun Devil? Look at that first-round pick of the Green Bay Packers. He's playing. Oh, he just crushed us on Twitter. You're at Mesa Community College. You want to be like Demaryius Randall? Oh, he just said ASU might be the worst school on planet Earth. So this is damaging. This is not a player that didn't make it in the league. And so for whatever reason, he doesn't want to discuss it. ASU don't respect their alumni at all. It's sad. So does this have to do with schooling? Does it have to do with him wanting some attention? Does it have to do with him needing to go back to class or something? Is there something that happened? And is this a football thing or is it something around the academic side? I don't know. I can only sit here and speculate because he hasn't explained himself. And that's the downside of this. At least there's not a video that he shot of his friend or something like what we saw this last week. As Eric said, the worst part of social media. Goody at the Movies is next. One other thing about the Diamondbacks, I promised I'd get them in here. A.J. Pollock's going to start the season with the team, which is very good news. They're home to Kansas City tonight, couple games at Chase Field. And we get going. Monday, it's opening day. Yes, we're coming into a baseball season with a team that is relevant, with a team that has great hype and hope and expectation. We don't have to sit here and wonder about the backup left tackle for the Cardinals every day because we have a baseball team that matters. That is so cool. I wish we could get the basketball team to that point. I'm Brad Sussmat, back with Goody next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, Demaryius Randall has not sent out a tweet here in the last couple of minutes, and Markieff Morris is going to get booed tonight. That's what's going on locally. We know it's time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykins, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. On my show notes, he wants to talk about a midnight special. I Googled it earlier today. And I love it when Bill wants to talk about something that's on the Camel View screen or independent side, because last time he brought up a movie on that end, it was Spotlight, and he was dead flat right about it. So
hey, that one did okay.
Yeah, that was fine. There were a couple people that checked it out. How are you?
Kind of a nice little trophy there. But I'm doing well. I don't think I have anything as good as the sports stuff that you were talking about. Of course, Morris is going to get booed. He got booed when he was still here.
Yeah, he's going to get booed. We all know that's going to happen. And Demaryius Randall had some problem with ASU. It's pretty funny. You and I do talk about the phenomenon of social media. We've seen it grow through the years. There's some people that believe it has not even gotten to the tipping point yet. It's not even close. I don't know whether that's true or not. I just know there's different ways and different devices. But we have the Kobe Bryant reaction towards the Laker kids this week and D'Angelo Russell. Bottom line is, I hope you've taken the time to hold up your phone to your kids and say, this is not a Lamborghini, so you have to learn how to use this.
And what I tell my oldest daughter is, So I'm not even sure that you know that there's a camera that faces outward on that thing. It's just, so, you know, there are other things to take pictures of than selfies. Nah, but you're
That's
right. I mean,
good.
These guys get in trouble. The people get in trouble all the time. And the athletes are so, it's, you know, the magnifying glass is on you. And you can say, as someone we know famously did, I'm not a role model, and you say whatever else. But if you're a guy with a phone and you're going to be tweeting people, people are going to be looking.
Yeah, they're going to react. All right. You talked with Jake Gyllenhaal this week. And
love that
Jake
guy.
So why do you love him?
He's just great. He'll do whatever you want. He'll talk about whatever you want. He'll go, if you want to do something weird, he'll do it weird. He's just a genuinely friendly guy. I remember the first time I talked to him, I think three times. And the first time was, I forget what it was, but it was some Disney movie based on a video game. And he got like super buffed up, you know, bodybuilder kind of looking guy. And we talked about it because he had to, because it was like a big part of this movie. And somehow it got twisted in there that he wanted to do a Joe Namath movie. He wanted to play Joe Namath. And then I said something about, you know, how good he looked or something like that. And he's like, and you are going to be my Joe Namath guy or whatever. And we just hit it off. And he was really funny. And of course, this time I had to tell him, I said, before we start, the one thing I have to tell you is that my 17-year-old daughter told me to tell you that she loves you. And he laughed and he said, well, tell her I love her too. And I said, you know, I thought we were doing this the week that we were in L.A. for a volleyball tournament. And I was going to tell her that she was in L.A. at a volleyball tournament. And she said, you can tell him that, but also tell him that I love him.
You brought up Joe Namath. I don't think they've done a 30 for 30 on Joe Namath. And well, there hasn't been a movie done on Joe Namath.
Well, he really wanted to do one. And they were actually talking about doing it. And he would have been, I mean, I don't think he's too old now because he looks kind of young, but he would have been perfect for it, you know. I mean, he not that he looks exactly like him, but he's kind of got those big eyes and dark hair, and you know, and you don't have to look exactly like the guy. There's a movie opening this week. I saw the light about Hank Williams. Hank Williams. I don't like country music. I love Hank Williams. I love Tom Hiddleston, who plays him. He doesn't sing like Hank Williams, but he does sing. But that's smart. He sings it the way his version of Hank Williams sings, you know. It sounds like a great movie, great character, great actor. It's not, but that's disappointing.
Midnight Special. Let's get over to that. So, what was this about?
It's hard to tell you without just telling you that you should see it. There's this kid, and at the beginning of the movie, there's an Amber Alert and they show the face of one of the guys who has him. So you think he's been kidnapped. Then they go to this kind of religious cult. And you find out that they think that he is a savior or a prophet or something, you know, and then you get to the government, the NSA and the CIA and everybody, and they think he is a weapon, and you still don't really know what's going on. I mean, why do they think this? And one of the things, Jeff Nichols made these movies. He made the movie Mud, and he made the movie Take Shelter. He makes really cool movies. And you find out very specifically why they think that, which I think was maybe, I wish it wasn't quite so specific, but that's fine. But Michael Shannon is in it. He's in a lot of his movies. He's great. The kid is terrific. He's, you know, he's like one of these sort of adorable little kids who, you know, you wonder where they get them. And they keep getting them because eventually they grow up. But it's weird, but it's really satisfying. And it asks like all these big questions about like what you believe and what is real and what should you believe. And, you know, I liked it a lot.
No, you're walking up to the line. I get it. You can't give it all away. Is it like Poltergeist, E.T., anything like that?
It is, let's say, inspired by those sorts of things. But
Got it.
Is very much its own thing. Inspired also by, have you ever seen this movie what's his name? Big Lebowski, Jeff Tan, with Jeff Bridges. Starman.
Yeah.
Some elements of that in there. That was a really cool movie. It's still its own thing. I mean, it's sort of a chase movie. It's sort of a cops and robbers thing. It's kind of a spy movie. It's just, there's some good stuff in there. And it's like one of those big picture kind of things.
I won't push any further than that. Krisha. Is Krisha?
Krisha?
Krisha? Krisha, got it.
What's a woman
Krisha about?
That's even better, but it is totally weird and unbelievably uncomfortable. The filmmaker's name is Schultz. It's about this woman who's been estranged from her family for 10 years. She was an addict. She went into rehab. She clearly has hurt this family in some way, although they're not real specific, particularly at the beginning, about how they did it. But she comes back for a Thanksgiving dinner, and she decides she's going to cook turkey, which is, I think in my review I said, roughly the size and shape of a VW Beetle. And and I also said, you know, you gotta do that that thing, you know, if you're gonna put a gun in the first act, it's got to go off in the second. You know, if you're gonna have a giant turkey, if you're gonna cook a giant turkey in the first act, something's got to happen in the thing. But it's shot really well. The guy worked for Terrence Malick for a long time, and his aunt, his real life aunt, plays Krisha. His real life mother plays his aunt, and he plays Krisha's son. And so, and a bunch of his family's in it and everything. But basically, what it is her trying to get through this Thanksgiving dinner, and it's a, you know, it wouldn't be much of a movie if it went smoothly, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, of course, disaster strikes, and more than just a turkey. But she is fantastic. And she's actually a professional actor. Some of the people in the movie are not. But and she's really good. But it just, the film starts with this woman, and she's older. She's got gray hair kind of like swirling around her head. And it's just this extreme close-up of her face. And it's what you're in your mind begging her to look away or you've got to look away. Like, you can't continue to hold this gaze, you know. But she doesn't. And that's sort of like the way the whole movie is. It's like, yeah, I hate to make that analogy of, like, you know, like going to a race for the car wrecks or whatever, you know, or you know, a car wreck, you can't look away. I like to think of it more as that episode of Kramer where they painted him and the rich people were going to buy the Kramer, the painting of him. And the guy said in his accent or whatever, he said, "He is a loathsome brute, and yet I cannot look away."
That's sort of what this is. Before I get out of here with you, both movies sound fine, okay? But I'm going to go watch Broadcast News this weekend.
Good for you.
Yeah. I have somebody asked me this week over lunch, "Have you seen Broadcast News?" I said, "Yeah, it's been a while." And I want to say that was like when I was in college. It would have been, I don't know, 86, 87, somewhere around there. And it's just time. And for people that are in our business that have not seen Broadcast News, or if you have an interest in media, wouldn't you say, Bill, you've got to at least consume that to get a really good feel?
You got to see that, and you got to see Network. Both of those are fantastic. But there's all, you know, I've thought of and actually posted something from Broadcast News the other day. It's been a couple weeks now, during the first round of the tournament, during the U of A game, during the heavy sweating incident.
Yes.
And if you recall in the film, Albert Brooks wants to be an anchor. He's a really good reporter, but he wants to be as an anchor. Somebody gets sick or something, he gets to be an anchor, and he suffers from flop sweat.
Yep.
and they cannot keep
heavy
him dry.
Sweating.
I think it's a great movie. I think it's a funny movie. It's just so smart. It's so well written, and it gets to stuff like the media, like William Hurt. He gets to be the rich guy. He gets to be the anchor. And he knows that he's not that smart. He knows it's because he's good looking. It's because of the way he looks. Albert Brooks is a much better reporter. And then Holly Hunter, of course, you know, it's like, doesn't it, you know, isn't it ever bad to be the smartest person in the room or whatever? She's like, yes, it's terrible. I love that movie.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Stay well.
You too.
This is Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Appreciate that. It's been a good week. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now at Sports360AZ.com. High school, college, pro, things that we see across the Arizona sports scene, but also on a national end. We do quite a bit of fantasy football, even in the offseason. Michael Fabiano with us. You can read his comments on some fantasy football news and much more. Thanks for watching.